look beyond the legal formalities of an election in measuring a community on the power scale. If the citizens can vote only the way they're told, a community approaches despotism. In a downright despotism, opposition is dangerous whether the despotism is official or whether it is unofficial. And if books and newspapers and the radio are efficiently controlled, the people will read and accept exactly what the few in control want them to.
WhisperWatch.com.
Thank you for listening to this Whisper Watch podcast. The coronation of Hillary Clinton is now over, and I cannot express to you how ticked off I am with some of the things that happened over the course of the Democratic National Convention. From a number of reports you hear about how terrible Bernie Sanders' supporters, the voters, the delegates were treated at the convention by organizers of a DNC, which were apparently hell-bent on or determined to get a little nasty type of revenge for the fact that 46% of the people who voted in the Democratic primary didn't vote for Queen Hillary. And yes, that is a very snide remark right now, but I think it's so apt because of the way that the people around her and the people who were determined to make sure that she was the nominee, the way they have behaved, the things they have completely ignored, the positions that they have completely set aside because they were not in line with Queen Hillary's positions. You know, Bernie Sanders supporters, we always get accused of being immature and childish. That's the cute little nasty thing that the Hillbots, the Clintonites, like to throw out because they can't get us to do what they want us to do. Well, let me talk to some of y'all asses like an adult, okay? Now see, we're all adults up in here. But for whatever reason, the people who support Hillary Clinton want to try to control what we do. We're childish, but they want to control what we do and who we vote for. So let me talk to some of y'all like an adult and not like we're all in Candyland skipping around and holding hands, okay? Now, if this doesn't apply to you, then I ain't talking to you. So get out of your feelings and understand that my words right about now are intended for people, both in the media and in establishment politics, who have an unending supply of condescension for Bernie Sanders' supporters. Let me talk to you like an adult. Your candidate is a mess. She is a mess. You want us to grow up, right? That means I'm going to talk to you like a grown-ass person would talk to you. The truth is, this race shouldn't be close. She shouldn't be tied with Donald Trump. These are the type of numbers we're seeing in polls right now are really meant for people who are equally matched or, you know, just idealistically different. You know what I mean? One party has this set of ideas, another party has this set of ideas, and they're going to go forth. And people, the American public, have to weigh their options, okay? But you have a f***ing clown on one end and somebody who you claim has so much experience and is so qualified for this job on the other. These numbers shouldn't be close. The media sat in their bubble and tried to make this primary profitable by giving hours of free coverage to a In the current poll, she's pulling even with someone who people consider to be a fascist. Somebody with no political experience, never been elected to a thing, someone who admits to knowing how to buy politicians. Okay, that's who Queen Hillary is pulling even with. If she loses to him, it'll be because you chose a weak-ass candidate. How's that for real talk? I'm tired of nobody in corporate media telling it like it is. If she isn't strong enough to be trouncing this mother, then you never should have given your vote to her in the first place. Like, I don't know how else to say that to you. You never should have ignored the warnings about her record coming from Sanders supporters and the voters. You never should have ignored her tons of baggage. If she loses and you want to blame somebody, walk your ass over to a mirror and look in it. Now, Bernie Sanders has made up his mind to support her. Okay, he could do whatever he wants. He grown. But Bernie Sanders doesn't own us. We gravitated towards him. He didn't pull some type of puppet master trick on us to talk us into supporting him. And that's what I don't think corporate media understands. He's not the Svengali that talked us into supporting him. And as such, he doesn't control what we do. So when he says jump, we don't say how high. That's just reality. You know what? I feel like a disappointed parent to the Democratic Party right now. I really do. In the role of a parent, let me just say that y'all asses are out of control. You are out of control. The Democratic Party needs to be taken to the woodshed. I've tweeted about this already. Y'all need to be taken to the woodshed. But for that to happen, there has to be a substantial amount of danger to their power for them to change. You saw how quickly they got rid of Debbie Wasserman Schultz after people raised their voice and booed her ass off stage. You saw that. Before that happened, they were going to let her walk up there and gavel in this convention and be all involved like she didn't do anything. They were going to let her do that before you showed them that there were consequences and repercussions to their actions. Now, take that as an example of how to move going forward. Take that as an example of how to deal with these people going forward. Now, there is going to be a boomerang effect in the way that they've decided to deal with Bernie Sanders supporters, the way that they have decided to ensure a Hillary Clinton nomination. You know, all it's going to require are people being just as steadfast in their ideas as the Democratic elite are. Remember, I'm talking to you like an adult. Okay? That's what you want. Let me talk to you like an adult. Truth be told, the rich in this country are going to be all right no matter who becomes president. Okay? And that includes those 7, 8, 9 figure liberals that are only liberal up to a certain point. That's why I was so disgusted at the thoughtlessness, the tone deaf comment from Sarah Silverman at the DNC on that first night. Here you have a millionaire standing up on that stage telling the much poorer Sanders delegates, some of whom had to raise money in donations to get to Philadelphia in the first place, that they're being ridiculous because they decided to voice their dissatisfaction with the way things are playing out right now. And she stood her multi-million dollar ass on that stage and told them that their expression of emotion about the reality of their candidate's campaign was ridiculous. She didn't say, come on, guys, let's get together and do this. Or you know what, guys, you can be involved in this process too. She made a personal attack to everyone in that audience who was there to represent Bernie Sanders as a delegate. I mean, what? Now Sanders supporters, people who are representing Sanders voters, we ain't even allowed. We're not even entitled to our own f***ing emotions because privileged, comfortable, wealthy ass liberals who apparently are finished with dabbling in the alternative candidate said that those delegates need to basically shut up and be good little soldiers. That's basically what she said. Shut up and be good little soldiers. Turn over your analytical and critical thinking skills, shut up and fall in line. That's basically the attitude that she had. And nobody appreciated that. I thought it was hateful. I thought it was nasty. Those delegates in that room represent millions of people who couldn't come to the convention. They represent people, some of whom donated the last little bit of their income, whatever they had left over at the end of the month, to Bernie Sanders' campaign for weeks. For months, even if they only gave $10, we certainly know that the majority of Sanders's donors are not the maxed out donor types. They, most of them, didn't have $2,700 to give to anybody's campaign. They represent people, some of whom have been struggling economically for decades in this country. And they finally saw in Bernie Sanders someone who gave a damn about their problems, someone who cared, someone who showed up, someone who listened, someone who at the very least understood the importance of fighting for improving the system, improving the government so that it is effective in its response to helping working class people. You know what I mean? So to see this multimillionaire in Sarah Silverman telling them that they don't deserve to be angry right after the f***ing WikiLeaks release of those emails, to see this 7-figure, 8-figure liberal, this papal progressive, whatever you want to call it, to see her tell them that their feelings are ridiculous, it was terrible to watch. The visceral response was like, oh, no, you did not. No, you did not. You did not. Because see, this is everybody involved with the DNC should have had as their first priority to try to bring people in who had a differing opinion than the people who were ultimately going to walk out with the nomination.
That should have been the first response. And to have somebody who claimed to have been a Sanders supporter. And I guess, you know, this is what they always do. Whenever there's a quote black issue, they bring out a black person to say what they really want to say to the black community, but can't. And so I guess Sarah Silverman was that person. They were happy that it was her who said what she said to Sanders supporters. And they were clapping and there were high fives or applause. Oh, I think she's awesome. Of course you think she's awesome because you supported Hillary Clinton. So of course, any person who has any opposition to your position is all of a sudden awesome. Did you think she was awesome when she was supporting Bernie Sanders? Probably not. But all of a sudden, now that she's acting a goddamn fool to Bernie Sanders supporters, she's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Like I said, I thought it was hateful. It sounded mean-spirited. She looked like a stereotype of rich progressives who are supporting the outsider candidate just to be seen as an outsider. You know what I mean? Just to brandish their boat rocker street cred. But these people never want to do the hard thing. They never want to follow through. They never want to risk anything, you know, they never want to risk anything beyond what they're already comfortable with losing. You know what I'm saying? So when push comes to shove, all of a sudden they want to be with the in crowd and give you some lame excuse about holding somebody's foot to the fight. Get out of my face with that. I'm over that type of My level of patience with these people is at negative 100 right now. I have no patience for that type of nonsense. Now, if you got to do what you got to do in your own mind and vote for Hillary Clinton, you grown. I can control what you do. But that also means that I'm grown and you will not shame me or try to make me do what you want me to do. Because that's what adults do, right? We're all adults in the room, right? You want us to grow up, right? As if we're not already grown, as if we haven't already made up our minds, as if we have no critical and analytical thinking skills up in this mother. And let me tell you another thing. The truth is, as things stand right now, Hillary Clinton doesn't have to do it. She, from what I can see, hasn't reached out in any type of effective way to Bernie Sanders voters. If Trump wasn't trash, if he wasn't the nominee, there's a possibility that she'd be losing badly to a sane Republican. I can't garnish a sandwich and gulp it down like it isn't. I can't do it. If you can, God bless you, honey. God bless you. And you better believe that there are Sanders voters who live in states where it's not gonna matter if they don't vote for Hillary Clinton. There are some Sanders voters who live in states where if their ballot said Hillary Clinton versus Satan, Satan would win 58%, okay? So you're not gonna get those people to be enthusiastic about voting for Hillary Clinton anyway, because they really have nothing to lose. What you need to worry about are those people in swing states. Because as far as I can see, they have all the power right now. They have all the power and they don't know it. Once people start to wake up and understand that they hold the power because their support and them withholding their support can force a Hillary Clinton to move, to follow through and actually position herself that is more clearly representative of the ideas and the policies that they want to push. They have all the power, as far as I'm concerned. They have all the power. They just don't know it. Because if she wants that office, she needs them much more than they need her. All they have to do is not buy into this lame-ass media narrative that, oh, because you're in a swing state, you have to vote for Hillary Clinton. You have to shut up and just do what she's... No, honey, they hold the power. They can say, if you do not do X, Y, and Z, if you do not effectively convince me that you will be against the TPP, if you do not effectively convince me that you will not approve of the Keystone Pipeline, if you do not effectively convince me that you are more progressive than not, I'm not gonna vote for you. You will lose and all hell will break loose. And it will be your fault because you are not strong enough to defeat Donald Trump without me. Y'all need to understand how much power you have right now. Stop letting these seven-figure liberals, these paper progressives, talk you out of understanding how much power you have right now. Saying that you're going to completely give over your power to Hillary Clinton and somehow magically in the future you'll be able to hold her feet to the fire. What the f*** does that even mean? Once she has your vote, that's it. She can do whatever she wants. You can't impeach her. You can't make her do anything. You can't shame her into doing what you want her to do. She doesn't respond to that. If she responded to that, she would have apologized long time ago to Bernie Sanders about the way this whole DNC thing went down. If she responded to shame, honey, she would have been gotten rid of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Politicians don't understand shame. They don't understand niceties. They don't understand cajoling. Their financial backers keep them above having to deal with the everyday riffraff, the unwashed masses. The only things politicians understand are consequences and repercussions. That comes in the form of a significant threat to their power. And that's coming from an adult, from one adult to another, honey. Because the truth is, grown-ass people don't have to do shit. Back in a moment.
The following is a clip from The Young Turks.
You know, I think what's the interesting thing about Bernie people is that they're Democrats, they're Republicans, they're independents, they are first-time voters, and they united under Bernie. But afterwards, they're feeling and they're... That was their all. They all agreed that that was the best avenue for the political revolution. Now they have different reasonings that they loved him is also fueling the different motivations to go in other directions. So some people are going full green. Some people are Bernie or bust. Some people are going to write his name in. Some people are not going to vote at all. Some people are going to vote for Trump. Some people are going to vote for Hillary. Like, you know, it's a very wide group of people. It's across all the states from very different. So what was interesting about it was that they were all able to come under the umbrella of him. So I don't know. And that's where I think Bernie Sanders was not being... He wasn't holding back. I think he was being really honest. Anybody's going to have to earn those votes. He earned those votes. His record, people came out to see him. They heard him speak. They looked at his record and felt, this is someone I can rally behind. And that's why they phone banked and canvassed and did all that stuff. So if that's what they want, then they're going to have to really generate that. And what they're seeing is that the things that they love about this platform and the things that people fought for, and we know that those things didn't go so well. Like, you can't just go up there when I'm watching it and going, you know, and Hillary heard this and that's why she brought this all in. It's like, no, but I talked to all the people on the Rules Committee. It was pulling teeth to get these things across. So it sounds disingenuous when you're saying, oh, she heard you and it was so easy, because it wasn't. And that's what people, this is happening in real time. This is not like people looking back in history books and going, wow, I heard that was a really difficult time. People are seeing it as we're doing this. Everyone was streaming live. Everyone is a reporter now. So that information's getting out. And so that's what's, it can't be about what's helping Trump or hurting Trump, where people are still listening. They're keyed in and their moods are going up and down. Their opinions are going up and down. And this is the time to keep giving them information. They want information. They don't want pandering. They want real promises. They want real legislation. They want acknowledgement of the fact that, yeah, this was really difficult to get here, but I'm willing to put these on here because I want your votes. Not that, all right, I'll take it. And like, you better vote for me. You know, like, there's a tone that I think all throughout this entire campaign and how people have spoken to each other on both sides and telling people tone down and all this kind of stuff that's going on, that now that's not going to be over just because both parties have decided who their nominees are. And also,
the following is courtesy of Rania Kalik at Twitter.
My name's Frank Klein. I'm a delegate from Arkansas Congressional District 4. I'm 61 years old.
Oh, no.
I'm a small business owner. This morning I was refused my credentials. They wouldn't issue my credentials, the Democratic Party of Arkansas. They said that yesterday during Mr. Obama or President Obama's speech that I held up an unauthorized sign. What I did was I held up a no TPP sign. I didn't yell. I didn't disrupt anything. I just held the sign up. So this morning they said it was against DNC rules. I complained to them that that was my First Amendment right as far as free speech. And they said that DNC rules trump the Constitution, that they were above the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and that I had lost my rights when I went to that convention. So basically, they locked me out. I'm an elected official from my district representing the people who wanted me to go to support Bernie and to protest if he didn't get the nomination. And I'm pretty pissed off about it, actually.
And how did you get here? Did you pay to get here? Did you raise money?
I drove 22 hours to get up here from Arkansas. I did raise money on GoFundMe. And I will probably break even. It's not going to cost me anything, but still, it's taking a lot of my time. I've had 12 hours sleep in 4 days, a 22-hour drive to get up here, and a 22-hour drive home tomorrow. So it's been really tiring on me. I'm not a young man anymore. But still, I'm willing to stand up and fight for my constitutional rights, and I think everybody should. I'm doing this for my kids, my grandkids especially. They're going to live through this shit if we don't do something about it right now.
Welcome back to the podcast.
They're not children, so you can't control their actions. They don't have to vote the way you want them to. The Democrats' political reality is that their base doesn't have to do anything. It is the job of the candidate to give people a f***ing reason to get out and support them. It is the job of the candidate to build a bridge for people to cross, not to rely on somebody else, not to rely on everybody else to keep them from having to do the hard work. You slap on your Elizabeth Warren progressive magic suit to protect you from having to do the hard work of actually moving left on your policies. You throw her out there. She's a distraction, a diversion to keep people from understanding that you have not moved to the left on a lot of positions. You throw on your Bernie Sanders suit to keep people from not seeing the fact that you are still where you were before Bernie Sanders got in this race. A lot of people talking about, well, he made her move to the left. How did he make her move to the left? She hasn't actually done anything yet. She can tell you whatever. She doesn't have the job yet, or she's not in a position to set the policy agendas yet. So you don't know what she's actually going to do. I think that's so asinine. You sit up there, you buy into these media narratives without thinking for yourself. What you mean that she's moved to the left? She hasn't had to do anything yet. But as of right now, all she has to do is hide behind these progressives, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, to appease that group of people. And then she can throw on her Mike Bloomberg costume and please that set of people. And then she can throw on her Leon Panetta costume and please that set of people. So she can use all of these people with very different political attitudes, very different support for very different political ideologies. She takes these people and she can use them like shields, and she'll never have to do anything other than what she was always gonna do. I see this shit. I see how y'all do. Apparently, Bernie Sanders supporters who refuse to coronate her are the only people that are speaking out about this, because all the rest of y'all have just conceded. You've gone back to this jaded, nothing's gonna change, and maybe I'll be able to hold her feet to the fire. How the fuck out of here with that? And if you're listening to this podcast and trying to cuss me out in your mind, you don't like truth, because that is the political reality. And since we are all adults in the room, you are going to have to deal with the fact that your political reality is that people don't have to do it. And you can coulda, shoulda, woulda all day long until you turn blue in the goddamn face, and it won't change your political reality. And let me tell you something else. There is this narrative going around now that if you vote for Jill Stein, that you are somehow throwing away your vote, or you are ensuring a Trump presidency. And I'm sure that's what they like to tell you. That is exactly what they want you to believe. And I was arguing with someone on Twitter about this, and they were basically making the point that, you know, Jill Stein needs millions of dollars. She needs support. She has nothing, basically. And that's why they're not going to support her. And I'm like, don't you understand how ridiculous a notion that is? If she has nothing, why don't you work to make sure that she has what she needs in order to be competitive? If the reason that you don't support Jill Stein is that you don't think she can win, or you don't see her as competitive, make her competitive. The truth is, she will continue to have nothing as long as people continue not to help her build it. Don't complain if you won't do anything to actually help improve that situation. The more you don't support her, the more she won't be competitive. Duh. If you want an alternative to your political reality, you need to stop falling victim to this nonsense that you have no options and that you can't do anything to change it. Of course Jill Stein can't win so long as people are scared to support her. So scared that they're not even willing to try to make her powerful enough to be competitive. What about that don't you get? Like, I don't understand your reasoning. If you agree with this woman and you think her policies are more in line with yours, you agree with her 90% of the time, but you will not support her, then of course she will remain not competitive. She will remain a quote fringe candidate. She will remain in a state where she will not have enough money to be competitive so long as you don't support her. Just one of the stupidest reasons ever. I have, like I said, my patience for that type of nonsense is at -100, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, we need to understand that there's a difference between a self-fulfilling prophecy and an actual psychic prediction. Don't say she can't win unless you're a psychic. Now, she can't win will be a self-fulfilling prophecy so long as you don't support her or vote for her or raise money for her or help organize for her or make calls for her or knock on doors for her. Of course, she's not going to win. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It ticks me off because I think people lack an imagination. And they use that lack of imagination of seeing somebody like Jill Stein competitive with Hillary Clinton. They use that as a means to keep themselves from doing the hard work of helping her build her platform, of helping her build her campaign. Now, it doesn't have to be her. Who else is that you are involved with, that you agree with 90% of the time, but you think they won't win? Remove that nonsense narrative from the argument and think about how important it would be for you to help them. And that's not just on the presidential level. That's all the way down ticket. There are a bunch of people who a lot of people think have no chance of beating the incumbent Democrat, the incumbent elite, the Democratic incrementalist that has had that position for far too long and who is refusing to be sufficiently inclusive of progressive ideas. So long as your number one goal is I need to vote for a winner as things stand right here, right now, today. So long as that is your number one goal, things will never change. You will be bitching about this 4 years from now and 4 years after that and another 4 years after that. You have to get in there and figure out how to make these people competitive to that element that you've been fighting against. And at the end of the day, the only thing I'm asking you to do is to believe in the power that you have. These f***ers have convinced you that you have no power, that you have to give into the system as it is, that you need to just sit down and shut up, be a good little soldier, we'll take it from here. That's the f***ing attitude that I have no patience for. I have no respect for. I will not protect. I will not support, because as long as she has your support, she has no incentive to change at all. And that's the political reality that nobody wants to tell you. None of those seven-figure liberals want to tell you that. None of the corporate media wants to tell you that, that as long as you fall in line and support this, it will continue to be what it is. And they will continue to dictate the type of races they want to cover, the type of issues they want to cover, or whether they want to cover issues at all. Come on now. When's the last substantive report from corporate media you've seen dealing with a specific issue between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? It's all, well, he said this on Twitter, and then she responded about this on Twitter, and then she wrote this, and then her people said that, and then he said something stupid about Russia, and then Hillary Clinton was all appalled about that. Ain't nobody, that's bullshit. That's nonsense. That's high school mess. That's he said, she said. That's what they want to cover, because a lot of those people, in my opinion, are glorified entertainment reporters anyway. They're looking for clicks. They're looking for hits. They purposely pay attention to the thing that gets them the most attention. And what gets attention is a fight. People talking about substantive issues and arguing over specific points, they don't get no ratings, according to them. I think it's the fact that they're just lazy and they want to cover the easy thing, the quickest turnover, the thing that will get the highest number of clicks, the quickest. That's what they really want to cover. It's a combination of that and the people who own this whole thing, their bosses' bosses, telling them specifically which direction they want the reporter on the ground to go in, which direction they want the host to go in, the producers of specific shows to go in, which direction they want to push. What they view as important, what they think will get them the highest ratings in the shortest period of time. That's what they want to focus on. You cannot trust that these people are going to tell you everything you need to know. But too many people are still acting like the corporate media is the same as it used to be. Their goal is money. And if they can improve their ratings, they can ask for more advertising dollars. And if they look like they're more profitable and people are spending more money with them, then their stock prices are going to go high. See, all of this has nothing to do with y'all. They're going to give y'all what they think will ultimately get them the highest amount of money at the end of the day. That's what you're going to see. That's what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about Donald Trump said something stupid on Twitter instead of really getting down into the weeds of what the DNC leaked emails mean and how a candidate can collude with the media and nobody seems to think that that's a terrible thing. What the is that? The is that? And again, I am over the personal insults. I don't give a if you think I'm childish. I don't give a if you think I'm being immature. Go take that opinion and go play in traffic with it, because I don't give a. That's the point. I'm at the I don't give a level right now, because so many things have happened, and so many people who would be screaming from the rooftops if this were anybody else are quiet as church mice. Just as quiet as they want to be right now, because it's your person, it's your candidate, it's your side that's doing it. And at the end of all of this, don't even come in my face trying to pull this, if you don't vote for Clinton, you're voting for Trump crap. Don't pull that with me, honey. And if Trump wins, it'll be because you voted for a weak, whack-ass candidate who wasn't even strong enough to beat a goddamn fascist. That's on you. That is on you. And I already wrote about this before. If we all have to suffer the consequences and repercussions of a Trump presidency, blame the corrupting influence of money in this whole electoral process. Blame the Democrats for making sure that Clinton would be the nominee come hell or high water. You want to blame something. Blame the corporate media who made sure never to show Bernie Sanders as a viable alternative to this woman. Blame tone-deaf politicians who simply don't understand how the political ground has shifted under their motherfucking feet. Blame Hillary Clinton's complete and total lack of trustworthiness, her inflexibility in how she runs her campaigns. Blame that. Blame the terrible foreign policy decisions this woman has made as Secretary of State under Barack Obama's administration. And nobody wants to talk about that at all. Y'all are just complete. Y'all turn Ray Charles when it comes to this woman's foreign policy decisions. The decision to push to destabilize Libya, that's causing all types of misery right now. The decision to act like a coup in Honduras was no big thing, which caused women and children to have to go run and flee for their life. You want to look the other way on all of this stuff. And then if this fool ultimately makes this race super competitive or super close, or he actually wins the presidency, you want to blame somebody? Walk over to a mirror. Because if Donald Trump wins, it'll be because you voted for a weak candidate who wasn't even strong enough to beat a goddamn fascist. That's on you, honey. And that's real talk. That's one adult talking to another one. Some of y'all like to accuse Bernie Sanders supporters of wanting unicorns and rainbows. Well, that's all I saw that whole week at the Democratic National Convention. Your unicorn was that everybody's united and nothing's wrong. That was your unicorn. That was your rainbow you were chasing. That was your immature analysis of what went down. If you are one of those people that refuse to deal with the reality that your candidate is in trouble, then yes, I am talking to you. Get mad, get pissed off. I don't give a goddamn. We all grown. Just like you got your opinion, I also have mine. But you need to deal with that reality before it is too late. And it may already be too late. And this is where I am resigned. I feel like it is already too late. There will be consequences and there will be repercussions because of the choices we have at this moment. Now you deal with that, and I'll talk to the rest of y'all later.
I am sick and tired of the greed of corporate America and the greed of Wall Street. We need a new moral compass in this country. You know, Pope Francis talks about a moral economy, and I agree with him. That is what we need. Now, Wall Street doesn't like that idea, and I say, so what? Election, Wall Street and the other people who now run this country are going to learn a very profound lesson, and that is they will not continue to get it all.
Thanks for listening to this podcast.
There's more where this came from. You can listen to the Whisper Watch podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio and TuneIn. You can also subscribe to Whisper Watch on YouTube.com, if that's more convenient for you. Don't forget to share our podcasts with your online communities. It's free. And only takes a few seconds. Whisper will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening.